Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Groundhog Day is something of an American fable. I mean that equally of the February 2nd holiday and the 1993 movie directed by Harold Ramis, written by Ramis and Danny Rubin, and starring Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. What do you get when you combine the film with the British sensibilities of Tim Minchin and Michael Warchus?
Is it a squirrel? Is it a beaver?
Kind of both, but not quite either.
You get an Olivier Award-winning and 7-time Tony Award-nominated stage musical. After an incredibly well-received run in London, Groundhog Day the Musical, directed by Michael Warchus with music and lyrics by Tim Minchin and a book by Danny Rubin, is currently running at the August Wilson Theater on Broadway, starring Andy Carl as cynical, egotistic weatherman Phil Connors and Barrett Doss as Rita Hansen. Doss recently appeared in the Broadway revival of You Can't Take It With You. She plays a recurring character on the Netflix and Marvel series Iron Fist. And for you comedy TV minutia lovers out there, she played Liz Lemon's great-granddaughter in the last 20 seconds of the last episode of the NBC series 30 Rock. Barrett Doss joins us now, and we begin by talking about her relationship with Groundhog Day, the movie.
I'd known the film. I probably first saw it when I was like 10 or 11, something like that probably. And it was one of the movies that I think was in, that we watched a lot as a family, you know. Not as much as maybe a few others, but we definitely would watch it at least once a year. So I was very familiar with the movie and I loved it. I grew up loving Bill Murray, and one of the movies we watched a lot was What About Bob? So I was a huge fan of his for like a really long time, and then always loved Groundhog Day.
When you first heard that it would be a musical, did you think that would work?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. There have been so many film to musical jumps in the last 10 years.
With varying degrees of success.
Exactly. And so I had no idea what to expect. I had also never seen Matilda, so I wasn't as familiar with Matthew's work, with Tim's work. I feel like this is the first time I've ever said that. Sorry, guys. So I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't have access to a script before we started. All I knew was that Danny had written it, so I knew it would be very similar. But the music immediately spoke to me when I got the material, and I felt really connected to it, and it felt natural coming out of my mouth, you know, which sounds maybe funny, but when you work in musical theater, there are things that feel natural, and there are things that take a little more work for you to adjust your brain around, like the language and the sort of conversational style or not of the music that you're dealing with. And in this case, Tim's voice really made sense to me. In the end, I certainly think it works, but I started thinking that it was going to be different as soon as I heard the music.
Andy Carl did the show in London with a completely different cast other than himself. If you can tell it all, how does that affect or influence or do anything to the rehearsal process as you build the show, having a leading man who has done it once before, but with all different people?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Andy's definitely, he's such an amazingly strong performer, and he has such charisma, I think, on stage. He makes very bold choices always. And having already rehearsed for quite a long time with this show in London, I think they did something like 4 months of rehearsal for only a month-long run of the show in London. And of course, it took a lot of work to figure out all the moves on that stage. And if people don't know, there are 5 revolves on our stage. And so that took a lot of choreography and I think a lot of work to figure out where they wanted to, how we wanted to stage this show. So while some of that stuff was preset, it was sort of up to me and Andy to work with that basic template for me to be able to find my own version of this character within the boundaries that they had already basically set. With Andy, of course, he's a great team player. And so my version of this character, I think, from what I've heard, has a lot more attitude, I think. And so I think that was a little bit of an adjustment for him. But I think he was game for it. I think we match each other fairly well in that respect.
How did you approach creating the character? What do you think is important to emphasize about Rita as you play her, and how did you build yourself into the role and the role into your performance?
Immediately when I was introduced to the character of Rita, it was through the song If I Had My Time Again. That was the first song of hers I had heard when I got the audition.
If I had my time again, I would do it all. you want to make a couple of changes?
Immediately, her joy was evident. And she's thoughtful and ambitious. And so those were the things that jumped out at me immediately. And then when I heard the song One Day, again, this is without having any access to the script yet, just a few scenes, I heard the other side of her, which was this sort of, not cynical, but very sort of dubious and careful, and in a way, a little jaded in her experiences with men specifically.
Right. She's ready to be alone romantically rather than sacrifice.
Yeah. And she's okay with that. And so when I say in the show, I'm not looking, when he asks, you know, what are you looking for in a guy? Well, I'm not looking.
One day, someday, my prince may come, but it doesn't seem likely. And even if he came and he liked me, it's likely he'd be not quite my type. Someday, they say, he'll come riding up on the back of a horse. But of course, I'm allergic to horses. How will I tell him? He'll just have to sell him.
I took that at face value when I saw that. I think she's very honest with him and with herself about what she wants and what she expects from a relationship. So, and also her strength and her sense of humor. I think that they match each other well in that respect. But for her, that's not something that she's certainly looking for someone, you know, a coworker. That's definitely not on her radar. So it's so the struggle there too between like what am I feeling and what am I actually going to do about it has been a fun thing to explore with this character.
You have to, of course, anybody who knows anything about Groundhog Day knows that it's a day that repeats.
Mm-hmm.
And except for Phil, everybody's playing out the same beats unless he influences them in a way that makes them change.
Right.
But you have to deliver the same lines.
Yes.
A number of times with slight variations.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, depending. How do you, with the director, land on the delivery and then make sure you say it the same way, not only every night,
yeah,
but every time you say it every night, which is sometimes, I don't know, do you know how many times is the most times you say the same thing?
Well, I think the line that I say the most is, Phil, over here. No one told me it would be so much fun, that line. And it's kind of long, and it gets listy very easily. So other than physically, I know I've got my clipboard in my left hand, and I wave at him with my right hand, and I try to keep the same basic body movements, which helps. It really does help the delivery stay consistent. But also, I really try and see what I'm looking at and what I'm saying, but each time. But it is a challenge. I can't say that it's not. There was one night in our first week of previews where I stumbled. Actually, what actually happened is I went up on part of that line, which I know I have to repeat probably 7 or 8 times over the course of the show. I've never actually counted. So, and I did that the very first time I came on and said that line. So I realized, oh my God, I'm going to have to do a version of this every day. So I've given myself a pass if that ever happens. It happened once I dropped my cell phone in the diner in the first time I came on. And so I dropped it a second time, the second time I came on in the diner. You know, you sort of give yourself the challenge in some ways of doing a version of that, even if it's not exactly the same. So I sort of stumbled over the line every time after that. Instead of like pausing for 3 seconds, I like just sort of tripped over it. It is hard, I mean, to keep those things fresh, but the storytelling, it gets easier later in the day. Let's say that each day that we do, even the repeats get a little bit fresher every time because it feels like, oh, I'm following the logical line of this day. This is what would happen. But, yeah, that first one is tough.
Yeah. I was trying to imagine, I was like, because it is, what you have to do is the same, like I said, until it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you're a professional and you worked at it and you're not going to make the mistakes, but it seems like it would be so easy to be like, which one is this? Where do I go now?
Yeah, having those mix-ups, I think we've all probably had one or two over the course of our run already. But because Phil is the only character that gets an A to Z sort of story. And for the rest of us, our journeys are basically revealing more about our characters with every day. So by the last day that we show, which is still February 2nd,
right.
You now have Rita's A, B, C, D, E, that every day she's gone A, A, B, A, A, B, C, B, A. You know, it's sort of rolled itself out and then rewound every day, so you get to learn more about her. I think that's the easiest way for me to track where I am, is how much of myself am I showing? How much of Rita am I revealing to the audience and to him, to Phil? Because the cool thing about this show, I think, is that the audience takes the same journey that Phil takes, I think, over the, even though he's, you know, kind of a dick at the beginning of the show, he's still your protagonist. So this is still who you're tied to for the whole show. So it's kind of fun that you care more about Rita as Phil cares more about Rita. You care more about the town as he cares more about the town. And so by the end of it, you've taken this whole journey with him, which is why I think it's actually a pretty emotional show for a lot of people who see it. It surprises them. I think they come in expecting one thing and then they end up with having gone on this incredible journey with someone they would not have wanted to, like, if they thought when they came in tonight that they were going to actually like this guy by the end of it, if they weren't familiar, of course, with the movie, then they would, I think they find themselves surprised.
You like boats, but you don't like deep water. And you're afraid of clowns and the end of the world. And you like films, but as a rule, you think they should be 10 minutes shorter.
Can you tell from your interactions with audiences if there are a lot of people coming who don't know the movie at all?
I think it's so much a part of our, like, the zeitgeist in America, at least, which is why I was so surprised that it was, I guess not surprised that it was a hit, because it is telling the same story in, I think, a really creative way, but in London, where they don't celebrate anything like this. And it's such an American, I think, it's such an American holiday, not only because it's sort of excessive, it's like it takes this tiny, like, seemingly random idea and then blows it up so much that the entire country celebrates something pretty mundane that this one little town celebrates. And, but anyway, I do think most people are familiar with the movie when they come in to see the show. I think some of our audience is coming because they love the movie. Some people will not come because they love the movie, you know. But I think the people who come in expecting to see the movie on stage are surprised pleasantly by the fact that it retains a lot of what you get from the movie. It's still really funny. I think it's still really moving and very sweet. It's still a love story, but we are able to on stage play around with this idea of the repetition, where in a movie you can take exact cuts and just repeat them. With us, that would be boring if you saw exactly the same thing over and over and over again. So it's really fun the way Matthew, our director Matthew Warchus, has been able to repeat without repeating. You get to see different versions of the bedroom. And different, you know, so you're never seeing exactly the same thing.
And you and Andy Carl you have the same names as the characters from the movie, but it's different. Like, it just is different because of the way it's written and the way you have to perform it and the way that you are. Mm-hmm. But Andie MacDowell came to see the show.
Yeah, she did. It was so great. It was funny. They told us that there was a special guest coming, and if you want to know who it is, you can ask. But, you know, they weren't, just in case people didn't want to know. And I wanted to know who it was. And my stage manager said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Well, I think you just told me who it is."
Are you sure that you want to know? You're like, okay, sure. So it's Andie MacDowell.
Yeah. But I wasn't at all worried, not only because I actually know her daughter. We haven't seen each other in quite a long time, but when we were both in college, we did a summer program together at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London, and we were scene partners. So we got to know each other pretty well at that time. So I was excited to see her. But also, I don't think of us as playing I mean, we're playing the same character, and of course, that her version of this is completely iconic. I mean, the movie is so fantastic, and she's so wonderful in it. But I was never intimidated by that, because I think my version of Rita is so different because of how they filled out her personal life. You don't get to see that in the movie because you don't have the, I guess, the benefit of sort of the soliloquies that I get, you know, as a in the form of song with her. So I did want to ask, and we didn't get much of a chance, but if I met her again, I would probably ask her what her in her experience and her version of Rita, who was that person? What was her internal life like? Is there anything that matched up? Because I would be curious to know. But certainly, of course, like, I can't help but bring a certain amount of who I am to the role. And so she comes out, I think, a little, not harder, but she's got more attitude for sure.
Barrett Doss plays Rita Hanson in Groundhog Day, currently running on Broadway and nominated for 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. The original Broadway cast recording is available from Sony Masterworks. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.